You're listening to Soul Survivors, ESL Teaching and Expat Life in Seoul, Korea.
Podcasting from an undisclosed Starbucks somewhere in Seoul, it's Seoul Survivors, your weekly source on teaching ESL and living in Seoul. I'm your host, Carl, and with me today are my co-hosts, Sarah and John.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, and we are legitimately in Seoul.
Right.
For real.
Right? And legitimately in a Starbucks.
In a Starbucks, yeah. Back to our usual.
That's right.
All right. So, yeah. Again, you can check us out on the internet at www.gokorea.info, and send us your emails at gokorea@gmail.com. All right, and let's see. I guess it's a few days before Halloween, and if I get my act together, the show will go online over Halloween. Yeah, so maybe I can mix in some, like, howling wolf sound or something like that.
That's right. This
something
is a
scary.
Spooky show.
Right, yeah. John, is your school doing any special Halloween?
Oh, my God. All weekend, this weekend, there's a huge two-day program that they're doing haunted housey stuff, and every room is strewn with Halloween stuff, and mummies walking around. Oh, it's fascinating.
Mummies. They really get into it, do they?
Yeah.
Do you have to dress up?
If you were working it, you did.
What about Monday or Tuesday? Are you going to
be...
What about Monday or Tuesday?
No.
No, really?
Just normal, I mean, we'll probably still be decorated, but I don't think we're doing any special programs for it.
No, okay. What about your school, Sarah?
On Tuesday, we're doing a day-long event, you know, with different stations like pumpkin carving and, you know, in the dark hide-and-go-seek, which, you know, I think that's a recipe for disaster, you know, but we'll see.
Are you going to wear a costume?
I am.
What is
I'm
your costume?
I'm going to be a Korean girl. Yeah, you know, wearing my short little... jean skirt, you know,
okay.
Some knee socks, some black heels, and my top that looks like I'm a, you know, turn of the century librarian.
All right, okay. Yeah.
It's gonna be nice.
And a little John Sport backpack or
something like that, or some Louis Vuitton or something. I don't know.
Oh yeah, that's true too. Yeah.
Yeah, and lots of makeup.
Oh yeah, a lot of foundation.
That's right. You know, not to be critical. I love you, Korean girls.
Well, there is sometimes a bit of an acne problem. Have you noticed that?
I have noticed that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I kind of find it cute, though. But
you know, it's nice to see that they have flaws.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thank God. My school, Monday, Tuesday, we're going to do some stupid Halloween thing. And we were originally going to do pumpkin carving, but then they decided, no, that's too messy, so... Now I think we're just going to tell ghost stories. The kids love ghost stories.
Sure.
Turn off the lights.
Sure.
And my honors thesis in university, I did it on urban legends. So I've got a lot of urban legend horror stories. You know, the one that really gets them is the legend about the girl who goes to sleep at night and she's scared and her dog is under the bed.
Oh,
and she keeps reaching down
to
make sure her dog's still there. And the dog keeps licking her fingers. In the morning, she goes into her bathroom and her dog is dead and he's hanging from the shower curtain or the shower nozzle.
And you're going to tell this story to children?
Yeah. And then written...
Oh, it hasn't gotten there yet. You just wait.
Yeah. Then written on the mirror in blood is, people can lick fingers too.
I have the chills now. That story never fails to get me.
But the kids really love tales of death. And
I'm going to tell my 7-year-old.
No, they really do like that for some strange reason.
Well, good. Yeah. Good that you're armed then.
You know, one of the Halloween stories the kids really like, I don't know if you've heard this, Sarah, It's about some girl. I think it's something like the legend of Bloody Mary. Could you say Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary three times, and you know, ooh, Bloody Mary appears.
Right.
But this is a girl, and I guess she went for plastic surgery, which, you know, it's urban legends usually have a cautionary tale element.
Right.
So this is very apropos for Korea. Yeah.
Right.
So this girl goes for plastic surgery, and the plastic surgery went wrong, and her mouth is all distorted. It's like she has this permanent smile. And I think she has, like, red hair or really red lips. And so then she appears, and then she has a knife or something, and you have to keep telling her she's beautiful, and I don't know. And then she kills you in the end or something
like
that.
Yeah, there's also more to her. Her name is Red Mask.
Yes, thank you.
Baegon Mask.
Okay.
Yeah, and apparently you're safe if you live above the fourth floor of a building, like five and up. But if you live on 1, 2, 3, or 4, consider yourself dead if you see her.
Because 4 is the death floor.
Right.
So comes from the Chinese character is also death or something like that.
Yeah, I used to hear about this all the time from the students.
Yeah.
I haven't heard it recently, and I didn't hear it last year, but the year before, it was huge.
Yeah. Like the number 13, you know, a lot of...
Right.
It's not so much anymore, but many buildings still have, like, the elevator goes from, you know, 11, 12, 14. There's no 13th floor.
Yeah.
In Korea, it goes, like, you know, 1, 2, 3, 5.
Right.
Okay.
My school is on the fourth floor of a building, though, so...
Oh, yeah. Is it legitimately called fourth floor?
It's legitimately fourth floor.
Ooh. What do we call the floor that you walk into from the street? What number do we assign that in Korea?
One, I believe.
It's a one. Yeah, it's not like GE.
Okay, because, yeah, I still get confused in most of the places in Europe I've been where
a lot of countries are like
the
that.
The first floor is the one that's on top
like
of the
Asian
one
countries are
that you
like
walk
that.
Into.
So they start at zero.
Yeah.
Like ground floor, G-floor.
Well, there's that building 63 in Seoul, Yuksam building. So named 63 because it has 63 floors.
Yeah.
But the top floor is actually floor 60. They count three basement floors.
Aww,
yeah.
Man.
But Donald Trump actually did something similar in New York, where he had some new building, and he's like, it's a 50-floor building. And then, you know, some inquisitive journalist sort of actually counted the floors, and it's like, it's only 45 floors. How come he's calling it a 50-floor building? And then Donald Trump is like, well, the lobby's quite high, so that's three floors in the lobby.
Okay.
We've got a couple basements.
Yeah, run-of-the-mill floor is only 10 feet tall.
Yeah.
So
it's just not the Koreans who do that. Donald Trump does that kind of crap,
Donald Trump
too.
And the Koreans.
Well, that's the Donald for you.
Yeah. Now, our snack of the week is pokki. Pokki. Yeah, so the double B, O, B, and then the G, I, pokki. It's kind of like a round, caramel-colored sucker, lollipop kind of thing. But we don't lick it, John. You just actually just
bite it.
Put it in your mouth. So
go
ahead, John.
Oh.
Yeah. It's crispy.
Oh. Oh, nice. It's like... Which is exactly the flavor of a burnt marshmallow.
That is exactly how I was going to describe it.
Okay, right.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Delicious burnt marshmallow.
To me, there's a chocolate bar. I don't know if it's in America, but in Canada, there's a chocolate bar that if you wrap this in chocolate, it had that taste. I think it's like Crispy Crunch or something. I'll have to look it up on the
internet. It tastes like that honeycomb stuff they put in some candy bars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah.
Yeah, we don't have that in America.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this.
Yeah, it's quite good.
So two, cheap, too.
Yeah, two for, like, Chun Won, 1,000 won,
$1. Yeah, that seems pretty expensive. You can get, like, one for, like, 400 won some places.
But what I think is sort of unfair is, you know, it's more street food.
Yeah.
But these people actually don't have a street cart. They just have, like, a little squat table.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks kind of, like, extra miserable or something. Their little squat table or something.
The marketing strategy. Look pathetic.
Yeah. They don't even have a whole official-looking cart. I would get a cart if I was going to be doing that for a living. I want at least a cart.
It doesn't really require much, you know, upstart either. You know, it's just like a little...
You just need a bunch of marshmallows.
A little a burner, a little pan to put the sugar in, and a stamp. Thing. That's just about it.
Exactly. Stamp
Ooh,
it up.
So hard.
Nice. Because they're stamped with different... of course, you can't see this on the podcast, but they're stamped with different designs, hearts and bunnies and things.
I will put a picture, some pictures up on the journal, our blog. All right, so our main topic is apartments. It's always sort of a question I think a lot of people want to know. What kind of apartment are you going to get? Sarah, you are in... Oh, we've talked about your apartment before. You have the most wonderful apartment because it's right next to a love motel, right?
Oh, yeah. Got some, an earful last night.
Oh, really?
I was trying to sleep, but no.
Previously, we've commented that Sarah should maybe occasionally sell admission to her guy friends and stuff like that.
Yep.
Can you see anything through
yes. Oh, wow. Oh, yes.
Wow.
You had an interesting take on the sounds. Like, maybe that's getting too graphic.
Email me if you want to know. Yeah. I'll tell you all about it.
People will, though.
I believe this.
Right.
What about your... You have a digital camera with a movie?
Oh, actually, I do. Maybe I should record some sounds.
Sarah, you could put up a website.
But I think that... As a public service, when you leave your apartment, you need to make sure that a young male, as a public service,
right. I understand.
Right.
Yeah. Well, there's also some interesting stuff going on in my apartment that I can also see in my the reflection.
Oh, really?
Like, if I look out my window, I can see into the apartments above mine and below mine.
Very interesting.
Well, you're just a regular peep and tell, aren't you?
Well, I can't help it. If I hear sex sounds coming from somewhere, I'm going to look.
I'm only human.
That's right.
Is your apartment a legitimate apartment, or is it one of those office tells?
It's an office tell. We have several different businesses in the building as well. A lot of them, like, travel agencies, apparently, but I don't know that they actually ever were.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess the housing, we should say, is the three possible kinds of housing. Is John, you're in kind of a...
Essentially a dorm room.
It's sort of a dorm-style housing. Right? You've got your own room.
Got my own room, my own bathroom. It comes with a hot plate. Television, a little balcony, but it's a one-room setup.
Okay. And then, Sarah, you are in office-tel.
Office-tel, right.
Is it one-floor or loft-style office-tel?
Oh, it's the one-floor. I want the loft-style. Those are so cool,
Okay. And I've got an office-tel, too, which is like the loft.
Yeah.
The office-tel is... It's kind of like a mixed use. It's like an apartment, but also can be used as an office. Mm-hmm. I think ultimately it was created as kind of a tax dodge because the government levies a much higher tax rate on apartments than it does on office space. So they kind of came up with this strange hybrid. It sort of fulfills the letter of the law of an office, but it also can be used as an apartment. A lot of times I think schools will put you in an office tell for reasons I'm not too sure of. Like maybe because they don't have to go and buy the office tell. They can just rent it month to month or something. But yeah. The advantage of an office tell is at nighttime you probably won't have neighbors. If it's mostly being used for business, daytime business, then at nighttime you won't have neighbors. And it will accept your couple that... uses it for their nightly romantic gymnastics or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, do you find that usually your neighbors are quiet or non-existent?
On my floor, yes, but on the floor above mine, no, because it's a lot of my coworkers actually. And this may be a little bad, but one of the apartments on the fourth floor of the building is also used as like a... back home we have like the dorm cam kinds of things where, like an internet site where it's just like videoed.
Okay.
Yeah, sometimes there's one of those and they leave the door open. And you can like watch right in at nude people.
Koreans or, teachers?
Oh, Koreans.
Okay.
No, not teachers.
That would be technically illegal or something maybe, I think, in Korea. Because Korea has very strict laws against that kind of stuff.
I hear it's pretty common though.
Yeah. Well, what I heard is a lot of the sort of the Korean porn made for Koreans is actually produced in Vancouver.
Really?
Yeah, because it's Canada doesn't have a visa requirement for Koreans. It's like they can effectively live in Canada for 6 months.
Really?
So yeah, and Canadians can do the same in Korea. We can live here 6 months without a visa.
We can't.
Yeah, but so it's kind of it ends up being used. for one, you know, that reason too. It's just they can come to Korea and, or they can come to Vancouver and, you know,
do some more.
Yeah, make their little movies for 6 months and then and they get uploaded, you know, onto the internet. And Koreans can download it and buy it and stuff like that. And yeah, but it's all technically it's all legal because it's not happening in Korea.
Right.
Yeah.
So Canadians come to Korea to be English teachers, and Koreans go to Canada to be porn stars?
Yeah, well, that's not.
I think
a lot of English teachers really come here to be porn stars. I think ultimately
right.
too, right?
I know I am. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it's,
except different. It's
the same no matter where you go, John.
All right.
But yeah. So now one of the three ways that I think apartments sort of differ from Western apartments. One, you don't get a oven. There's no oven. It's usually sort of a gas range. Has this affected your life, Sarah, the lack of an oven?
I don't really cook, so no. But it's nice. You know, sometimes you just want, you know, make cookies or brownies or something, and you can't, but...
Wow. John, have you acquired a toaster oven?
I haven't, but I'm... And I probably won't.
Yeah. I think it'd be kind of like the, you know, the baking arts thing. A toaster oven is... You can buy toaster ovens here. You can buy some fairly big toaster ovens, too. So.
Yeah, I have one called a duplex toaster oven.
Is it multi-level?
No, it's not multi-level. Oh, okay. I don't know why it's called a duplex, but it was.
Okay. Yeah. You begin to learn how much you can actually cook and bake in a toaster oven. It's quite impressive when you're sort of required to do that. But it doesn't have... Baking is a little bit difficult sometimes in that it's not, you know, your traditional convection oven. So,
right.
Yeah. And what other difference is the bathrooms... usually bathtubs are not common, so you don't have a bathtub. Do you have a bathtub?
No, in a former apartment I did,
which
was nice.
Yeah.
Two bathrooms, three bedrooms,
so all
by myself.
Usually just get kind of, it's not even a shower, it's like there's a shower nozzle attached to your sink.
Right.
You know, it kind of hangs, you know, up on the wall. It's sort of a little, maybe even seen ones too where it's like toilet sink, you know, shower nozzle all combined or something.
Nice.
Some of the nicer office towels you have, like the enclosed shower.
Yeah. But basically, it's kind of like your whole bathroom is all tile. From floor to ceiling, it's tile. And there's a drain in the middle of your floor. A lot of the ways Koreans traditionally bathe is they kind of, like, just scrub themselves up with soapy water from, like, a little bowl. And then they rinse themselves off. So, you know, they kind of need to drain in the floor. So this has sort of the advantage. It's weird at first. You're like, this is just not like
standing in my bathroom.
Yeah, showering just in my bathroom, you know.
My bathroom is the shower.
Yeah.
But it does end up being convenient.
In terms of cleaning, because what you just do is you just... throw everything in some baskets, take everything out of your bathroom.
Spray your bathroom down.
Soap it up, hose it down, and you're done. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. It's like,
very nice.
You know, if my kitchen was all tile and there's a drain in my kitchen, mm-hmm. I would love that. You know, well, actually, the whole apartment. Just put it all in tile with drains. That would be so good.
That'd be really comfortable.
Well, you know what? It's really bad sometimes. Especially if you kind of live on, like, next to a main street. You'll have your little vacuum cleaner and you start to vacuum and you kind of vacuum from one end of the apartment to the other, and by the time you get to the end of your apartment, the first end is dirty again.
Yeah.
It's just though.
There's so much dust everywhere. You can never get it.
It'd be very, very dusty, Or you get the long black hair, is that kind of...
Where did that come from?
Yeah, that's not coming from me.
Not yours, right?
Yeah. Oh, and the heating. Now that's actually nice. It's called the ondo.
What is ondo?
Ondo. Well, it's based on the way Koreans used to heat their homes. So basically, the floor, they would light coal fires under the floor and then heat up the floor. Now that used to be kind of dangerous, the traditional method, because if the floor wasn't perfectly well sealed, you know, with the
catch on fire.
Yeah, the carbon monoxide fumes would come in the apartment and just kill everybody. So, but now it's all gas heated. You know, there's water pipes underneath your floor, and the water is heated via gas, And so yeah, so it's really nice in the morning. You know, you turn on the heat and it's just ooh, toasty, warm floor. Yeah. Do you have an undol system?
I do, but I don't like it.
Really? Why don't you like the undol system?
It just gets too hot.
Really?
Yeah. It's kind of, I don't know why, or maybe it's just me, but it seems more like a wet heat.
A wet heat. Wow. Well, you do have to watch it, because it is being gas heated, and Korea imports, you know, 99.9% of its gas. The gas here is very expensive. You know, if you're one of those people, you just like to sort of crank your heat in the winter, you're going to look at like maybe a $200 heating bill for, you know, for the month. And that's kind of a mistake a lot of people, I think, when they first come here sort of make. But John, you don't have that worry. You
know? I don't have to worry about any utilities. Yeah. I have a combination air conditioner heater that has just been switched into heater mode.
Okay.
Do you have control of it?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, that's good.
That I probably won't use until the end of December, because I have a...
Like last year in my dorm, I didn't have control of it. They did it for the whole dorm, and there was no air con, only the heat.
Bad.
So in the winter, they just cranked it up to, you know, the Korean standards, and I died.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. It's like, you know, I'm Canadian, so I'm used to sort of, you know, turning the heat on to like an acceptable level, and then just putting on a sweater, like
yeah,
wearing a lot of clothes. But I've noticed, and because sometimes you walk by Koreans' apartments and they leave their door open for some reason.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. And I mean, their apartments are just steaming hot, and they're just sort of padding around their little underwear, just nothing on. And it's not even like boxers. It's just like that. It's not even like your tidy whiteys. I mean, it's even the smaller kind of G-string porno star underwear.
That's what's going on the fourth floor.
Yeah, and I'm just like, ooh. Like, okay, if you don't mind paying that heating bill, you know, go right ahead. But
more power to your nakedness, then.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'd rather just put on a sweater and, yeah.
Me too.
I find, too, that, yeah, like you're saying, it gets really hot, is you don't even have to turn on the undol, you know, all day. I find you turn it on for about an hour, and then you turn it off, because the whole floor is like cement, and so the cement gets really hot, and then it holds the heat. You know, like in Star Trek, where they would, like, shoot the rocks with the phasers?
Right.
Well, that's exactly kind of the same
effect. I think it is nice to walk around, like, on the heated floor. Like, in the morning, you don't have to put on slippers or anything. It's just, oh, it's so warm.
Toasty little toes. Yeah.
And I guess it can be nice if it's really, really cold to sleep on it. But I still don't like it as much.
Or a washing machine. Typically, you'll get a washing machine.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no dryer. You don't get a dryer.
No.
Because I think dryers are, like, use electricity or something. But then electricity is not expensive compared to gas, which is strange. Because, you know, I can leave my air conditioner on all day, all month, and my power bill goes up like $50 a month. In Toronto, if I tried that, it would go up like $200. So, yeah. So Korea, the electricity here is reasonably cheap. A lot of it's nuclear and hydro dams. Korea actually generates more electricity than it uses, so they're kind of cool that way. But just, you know, gas and oil, all imported. And since you don't have a dryer, what a lot of people do in wintertime is they just lay their clothes out on the undol floor.
I've never done that.
Yeah, that's a little bit, you know, takes up a lot of floor space. But.
Well, especially since the floors are, like, dirty anyway. They're never really that clean. I don't want my clothes to get dirty again.
Well, if one person works and the other person stays home, they can keep those floors clean.
It's a 24-hour job.
I know, but us single people are just...
we have no choice.
Just rope off large sections not to walk on, because that's the clothes-drying area.
I don't think there's enough room in my apartment for that.
And I don't know about your washing machine, but my washing machine, you know, it's got the hot water input and the cold water input, but there's only one hose, and initially the hose went from, you know, the cold in to the hot water tap. So I would have to wash everything in hot water, which would, again, make my gas bill huge. And I noticed another friend, she had that same setup. The hot water tap into the washing machine's cold in. I don't know. But now you think it's like, good. No. You think it'd be, I know, you're thinking, John, hey, idiot, why don't you just unscrew the, you know, the hose from the hot.
And then in the cold.
Yes. And then that would be logical.
Sure.
Ah, yes. But you forget you're living in Korea.
The land of... Right.
Okay. So, the, you know, how our washing machines, how we have the, like, the hose, and then you just screw it into the tap.
Right.
Well, what they do is the tap... They have this strange cone-shaped thing that they first screw into the top, okay? And then your hose has this weird plastic coupler that you then kind of just jam up into the cone, all right? Nice. And get it jammed up there really, really good. And then you just tighten some screws. And this keeps about 99% of the water from leaking out. But... not completely. And so trying to actually move your hose means unscrewing these things and then...
Right.
Oh, so, yeah.
Well, what's even more odd to me about it having been connected to the hot water hose is that my understanding of most of the washers being made today outside of North America is that the washer itself heats the water. There's a cold...
Really?
One hose that goes
okay.
up to it. Just cold,
okay.
And the washer itself heats the water. If you're,
okay.
I know nothing about this.
Yeah.
At least in Europe, that's how they are, and I think the ones that I've seen here.
Well, do you have a top-loading one or the front loader?
Top loader.
I have a front loader.
That might
front
be different.
Okay. Do you have an agitator in your washing machine?
No.
I don't have an agitator either. Which, my machine, it takes about the whole cycle is about an hour.
Yeah.
Okay, and it has one wash cycle, two rinse cycles, and then kind of a spin cycle.
Right.
So the wash cycle is like about 8 minutes, you know, just 8 minutes in that soapy water. And then it does like two rinse cycles, and then it does your... But I don't know why it only does like the wash for about 8 minutes. It doesn't seem, and without an agitator... It just kind of like swirls the clothes one way, and then
that's what I think. I don't think the clothes ever get as clean. And plus, when it does the spin cycle, it stretches your clothes out like crazy.
Oh yeah!
I'm like, oh man, I lost a lot of weight. Wait, the clothes are just, you know, stretched out.
Yeah.
The front loaders don't do that.
But then too, the washing machines are like, it's like I'm on the space shuttle. It's not like dial operated. It's these bizarre buttons. It's all button operated, and it doesn't. You eventually figure out, I press this, and I run away, and it goes.
Right.
But there's other features that I have no idea how to use those other features.
It'd be fascinating to find out what they are.
Do you have
some other features. There's like the pant cycle, the the one just for, you know, blankets and stuff, for lingerie.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. And John, your laundry. You have,
we
like
have a laundry room.
Laundry room, okay.
Gets a lot of use, so much use that it's very annoying to use it. So I end up taking all of my laundry, every couple few weeks, taking all of my laundry to a laundromat, doing it there, and then surviving on getting by on maintenance loads between those times.
It would have to be cheap, though, to get your laundry done by somebody else.
I'd love to do that. I think I might.
Because labor costs here are so inexpensive for so many things. You'd think that would be like a really cost-effective thing here. Because I don't think there's no real retirement plans here for many people. Like, if you didn't save your money yourself, then you're screwed. You work until you die. And so there's necessarily a huge labor pool of very old people who, you know, will work very, very cheap.
Yeah. Selling popcorn on the street.
Yeah, or like collecting garbage. You ever see like old ladies, like really, really old ladies just pulling huge carts full of like
garbage.
Recyclable garbage,
cardboard
and stuff. It's rather depressing, but you know.
I hate myself and I want to die. English t-shirt finds.
Alright, so this week for English t-shirt finds, we're going to do, what is the bug nuttiest thing you've ever seen in Korea?
I've never heard that before. Bug nuttiest.
Bug nuttiest.
Bug nuttiest.
Yeah. I don't know. Just came to mind. Or maybe the Penn Jillette radio show. Maybe he uses that a lot.
Bug nutty.
Yeah. It's like down.
That other guy, Gillette and
Penn and Teller. But the Penn Gillette radio show, the Penn radio show. He actually does it with another guy called Michael Goudeau.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm the leader of the Michael Goudeau army.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Michael,
he's really funny guy. He's kind of like, he just doesn't say a lot and then just slips in these funny little comments and he's brilliant. I don't know. I would love to be Michael Goudeau.
Yeah. I see. Some bug nuttiest, huh?
Yeah. Maybe that's a Pennism or something like that. Yeah. But, John, what is the bug nuttiest thing you've seen?
Well, I'm still getting used to seeing just the couple's clothes.
Couple sets.
Couples, right. Okay. You know, and it's not terribly shocking or surprising when one sees, you know, two people, a man and a woman, wearing, you know, a red T-shirt and blue jeans. That's,
sure,
you know,
okay.
Kind of cute.
Right.
But a couple of weeks ago, saw just the most, I mean, on one person, it would have been a really way out there, huge, diaphanous bell-bottom pants.
And, oh, really?
Pastel-colored shirts and just, and two of them, a boy and a girl.
Wow.
And I just figured, after having convinced her boyfriend to wear those clothes, why would she then want to ever go out with him?
It's not her No, it wasn't her that asked her boyfriend. It was probably her boyfriend that asked her to do it. The Korean men are like that.
Yeah.
They're the ladies of the relationship.
Yeah.
Actually,
one of my friends, and she's like, I mean, in her late 30s, a scientist, genetic engineer. And so I was asking her, like, oh, you know, do you do little couple sets with your boyfriend? And she's like, yeah, you know, he brought that up. He wanted to know. And so I'm like,
it always seems to be the guy.
He brought it up, yeah.
Yeah, I've had an old student that I still talk to that he was talking about how, you know, he was the one that decided he and his girlfriend make couple shoes and all this. And I'm like, oh, man, you're just a girl.
Okay, wow. So if he convinced her to wear those clothes, if I were she, I would make sure never to take him to any gay district in North America.
Huh.
She might lose him.
Uh-oh. Quickly.
Maybe, yeah.
That's so fancy.
I have an online friend, and he's Asian guy living in San Francisco, and he's straight guy, and but yeah, he's got his fans in the community. I don't know, like something about the hairless bodies. I think there's a certain segment that likes the hairless bodies.
See, I understand that too, though, because I'm not a fan of body hair.
Really,
I am not.
Well, I guess you and I just aren't made for each other.
We aren't. I'm sorry, John.
Okay. I've got my share of chest hair.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The kids are like, yeah. Well, one time I was sort of asking the kids about, well, how would I become Korean? You know, but meaning kind of like what visa process. And this one girl's like, well, teacher, you know, to be Korean, first you would have to make your hair black, and then you would have to lose a lot of weight, teacher. And then we would have to mow your chest fur.
Fur. Yeah. Nice.
But then it went on something about, like, cleaving my chest open and then pumping me full of Korean blood. And,
oh,
of
course.
Yeah.
They really had this mapped out then, didn't they?
Yeah. But I love the mow your chest fur.
You sound like a dog.
Yeah, unfortunately, they'd have to mow my chest, my back, my shoulders.
Wow, you're a hairy guy.
Yeah.
But have you noticed some of your... Well, you teach kindergarten kids.
Yeah.
But I teach, you know, grade school, late grade school. And, you know, like, I've noticed some of my girls have mustaches.
Yes. Right.
I have noticed this, too.
Yeah, I don't know.
Almost as many as the boys.
Yeah, so it's like sometimes the girls have more hair on their upper lip than the boys
some
have on
of my
their
high
chest.
Girls, high school girls did, you know.
Yeah, what's the deal with that? I don't know.
Oh, man. You can grow a better beard than he can.
Woo-hoo. Oh, now that I've got a woman, I got to ask you this. Okay, one day I'm on the subway.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sitting there. I'm listening to my MP3 player, so... And I'm sort of just staring out, you know, one of the subway doors.
Mm-hmm.
And so this woman is waiting at one of the subway doors. And she's wearing this very, 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 very short skirt. You know, kind of like just, as people in Windsor would say, just covering the hams.
Right.
All right. And she was just in my field of vision, so I have to look, okay?
Right.
So, I guess this is one of the bug nuttiest things I've ever seen. And this is just isn't a tangent. And then I noticed she's wearing, you know, pantyhose. But then the pantyhose crotch is actually lower than her skirt. You know,
but how does that work?
I was going to ask you, Sarah. What is the deal with that? Is that a problem with pantyhose sometimes that the crotch doesn't come all the way up?
Well, if your pantyhose are too small, that's the problem.
Okay.
Or if they're too big, the pantyhose tend to bag and they will fall down.
No, this was not baggy. This was just like
her pantyhose were too small.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Major faux pas.
That's disturbing, though.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I think I saw this one other time. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, but all pantyhose and
courier are
just like one size.
She needs to have a friend who will tell her about things like that.
How? Because, I mean, she's Korean female, and she can't go five steps without stopping at a mirror. How could she have not have got all the way to the subway? And there's mirrors everywhere.
And you can totally feel that. Like, if the pantyhose crotch is rad low, you know it's rad low.
Oh, man. So I don't know. I'm not sure how she got that far into into the open society without ever stopping once at a mirror and checking that out. But you know, my bug nuttiness is the when you go to grocery stores, they're called the narrator models, where usually at the end of every aisle is like a woman in like a short skirt and like a little midriff bearing top and these strange kind of like leggings. They're not boots and they're not pantyhose and they're not socks. They're just these strange leggings. Hmm. And they're not even, you know, leg warmers.
And they never match what they're wearing, or rarely anyway. But they all wear them. I don't get it. And like those same kind of shoes too.
Yeah. So they stand at the end of the aisles and their job is to sort of push some product. And they can't just sort of like, you know, would you like to buy this baby powder today? They have to like scream and, you know, in this really high girly voice, like oppa, oppa, this kind of
buy my something.
Yeah, and that's fine if you're Korean,
sure.
But if you're just you're used to the North American way, where you just want to buy X brand of baby powder, right? And then suddenly this woman in a short skirt and, you know, cleavage, and she's running interference and she's screaming at you, right? And it's this weird situation because you're like, I don't know where to put my eyes,
right,
first of all, right? You know, I know she doesn't want to really do this to me because I'm a foreigner, and she knows that I'm not going to understand what she's saying, and anything I could ever possibly say to her, she won't understand. But, you know, her boss is probably lurking in the shadows, and if she isn't just doing this for absolutely everybody, he's going to yell at her and fire her, and I don't know. And so it just makes trying to buy the simplest product in any grocery store the most stressful, sexually charged occasion.
Frightening.
Yeah, it's both. And, you know, I mean, part of me is like, okay, I'm male, so I don't mind kind of like, if I could just sort of stand in a dark corner and observe her, you know, I'm cool with that. But I don't want to have to interact with her and not know where to put my eyes. It's just really, really embarrassing. And, yeah, so I kind of don't enjoy that so much.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
Strangely,
I find myself grocery shopping about 3 or 4 times a week. But it's not for them. Because
it is. You're being
liar. No, because it's like you will admit this, Sarah, that you can't get everything you want at just one grocery store. You know,
that's true.
Yeah, you tend to have to like go to different grocery stores in your neighborhood to get all of your things. So yeah, so that's kind of my.
I've pretty much only been to the one local grocery store that I've been to, and we don't have those women, but we do have a man who gets on a microphone and walks around the store.
Yes.
I guess he's hawking something, pushing the beets or the corn or whatever it is, but it's very annoying.
Right, yeah.
Because it's very loud.
They really get into that, too. It's like they're like, you know, MC or like, something like
that. I don't know how excited you can be getting about these green beans you're selling, but my God, you're excited.
But yeah, that's the other weird thing is how, even the narrator models, how excited they have to get about these things. And I don't know, you know, Sarah, if you were like, you know, wouldn't this be kind of a turnoff for you as a consumer, a female consumer? You know what I mean? Like you're going and you're, especially like if they're pushing like, you know, diapers or something. You're this married woman and, you know, baby has just destroyed your body or whatever. And
your sexy girl hawking diapers.
Exactly. And this woman has just got this perfect little stomach, and she's just like, you should buy these diapers. It's like, what do you know about diapers? You know, like, you're just a living reminder of what this baby has made me lose and why my husband doesn't touch me anymore. I don't know. In North America, you could legally slug that woman, I think.
Probably.
Yeah. Nobody would blame you if you just hauled off and hit her. I don't know.
Sarah, certainly what? Not if she got slapped, certainly. She could,
yeah, exactly. Sarah, well, what's the bug nuttiest thing you've ever seen? Now we can't use your kid skipping in underwear wearing a monkey around his neck.
No, we've already told that one. Yeah. Well, there's just like a phenomenon I can't get over. It's like people eating squid in movie theaters, like as opposed to popcorn. Have we talked about this before?
No,
I don't remember.
I don't believe so.
Oh, it just smells the theater up so much. And I'm like, you guys are so crazy. Why would you want squid when you can have popcorn?
Right. I'm with you on that one.
And the stink, the smell. Oh my gosh.
But to many Koreans, that is actually a pleasant smell.
It is.
It's like the ginkgo tree.
Like, I was drinking with a friend the other night, and, you know, he wasn't informing me on what you have to eat if you're, you know, when you're drinking, and it included squid. I'm like, no, I don't want
only
this.
If
he
I
insisted.
Want to lose it.
Well, have and you, it stunk my house up.
Have you noticed all the scent of the ginkgo trees in summertime, or in the springtime? Right. There's this weird stink about.
No, I missed that.
Yeah, and it just smells like, you just kind of assume it's like open garbage or something like that. And then you're like, the Koreans around you are like, the scent of the ginkgo tree. And you're like, oh, is that what
that smells? That smells really bad.
I just thought it was trash or sewer gas or something. Yeah. So sometimes what is a pleasant smell to us is not a pleasant smell to them.
Disturbing. Yeah. The squid everywhere, in the movie theater, in the bars, on the KTX train on your way to Busan.
Oh, you know, about the ginkgo trees, and John, do not be alarmed about this, because I think we're coming up on tree-kicking season.
Tree-kicking
season. It took me a while to figure this out. I would sort of sit on a Starbucks patio or, you know, walking from a subway station like home, and I would just notice Koreans would just randomly walk up to a tree and kick it. And
I've seen
this. And at first I'm like, Jesus, these people hate trees. Like, what do these trees ever do to them? Like,
way to work out your
aggression. Because, you know, they believe fans are going to kill them, right? Fan death. Maybe they're like, trees are causing global warming.
Right.
You know, Reagan has gotten
trees
to them or something. You know, the whole Reagan-Bush thing is like just convinced them that trees cause global warming.
Trees are bad.
I don't know. So, and then eventually I did notice that someone was like, picking up nuts around a tree. I'm like, so it's the ginkgo trees. They give them a good kick, and then they to try and dislodge the nuts, and then they feast upon those. Yeah.
Okay.
So if you see Koreans kicking trees, it's not because they hate trees. It's just they're trying to get
or
nuts.
Or do they?
Yeah, the other bug nuttiest thing is right across from my apartment, there's a combination pet store barbecue restaurant.
Yeah, I don't get that one.
The back part is a pet store, and then the front is like takeout barbecue. You know, mystery meat on a stick.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I'm a little hesitant to buy from there.
I nurture you in that hesitance.
It's just like, well, clearing out old stock. You know, I don't know. But yeah. You couldn't really
move hamsters last month.
Yeah, I know,
so.
Exactly.
How does that even work? Is it like, is it all mixed together? Is it on separate sides of the store? Or what's
just
there?
The back. No, there's no separation. It's just the back of the store is the pet store, and the front of the store is the little barbecue.
Oh my god!
Take care of it. Yeah. And I'm thinking, boy, you know, you couldn't really pass a health inspection, I think, in North America with that sort of setup.
No.
And even if it would pass the inspection, it wouldn't pass the marketing inspection. People wouldn't shop there. People wouldn't.
Exactly. They would be necessarily skeptical.
In Korean news.
All right. So in the news, I just want to talk about some of the latest trends. Has anybody seen the free hugs signs?
No.
No.
I saw a video.
Yeah.
About
a
free
video
hug thing.
There's a couple floating around, and the last couple, about the last week, people have been sort of walking around with these signs saying free hugs. And some, I think
in
it's,
Korea?
In Korea, it's more of like, yeah, I think it's actually kind of a universal movement.
You don't hug in public in Korea?
Well, yeah, that's the strange thing, that it's kind of like a little hugging in Korea, because...
Now, that seems odd to me, if we can break for just a moment.
Okay.
I mean, they are so, their personal space is so intertwined, they are so all over each other.
Right.
But hugging in public is not something we do?
Yeah, well... Traditionally there wasn't a lot of physical displays of affection, but I mean it's changed so much now. I remember showing a Korean American friend, you know, a picture I took in Nowon, and the thing he zoomed in on is like this couple holding hands. It's like, oh my god, they're holding hands in public. Yeah, I guess a number of years ago that would have been really like frowned upon, but it's, yeah, they're cool now. But yeah, ask your children sometimes, like, you know, does your mother hug you? Do you hug your mother? And a surprising number of children will say, no, my mother doesn't hug me. I don't hug my mother. Yeah, so that familial kind of, affection is not quite there. Because
family's the same, though, back home, when we're not hugging people anyway. Yeah, but yeah. I love hugs. You know, if you ever see me on the street, give me a hug. Aww. Unless you're psycho.
Yeah. Unless you're a crazy psychotic, awful person.
Yeah.
But my actual, the thing I'm most impressed by is the latest trend is like $5 pizza joints.
Yeah. There's one nearest to my house.
Yeah, so it's like a pizza parlor, and every pizza is, you know, $5. Ochun won, 5,000 won. And very, well, most of them have corn, but there's some you can order with a minimum amount of corn.
Minimal corn.
Yeah. I think if Monty Python did their spam skit, they would do it about corn, I think. You know, corn.
Right.
Carrots and corn, I don't know. So, yeah. So, if you go to, like, a grocery store and try to buy a frozen pizza, you know, it's like $6 or $7. But you can get a nice, hot, fresh, normal-sized, maybe, I mean, depending where you are, it'd be a medium pizza or a large pizza.
Yeah.
You know, depending who you are, it could feed three, or it could feed two, or in my case, it feeds one. I'll eat the whole damn thing. I think maybe I'll do some research tonight and then buy one and take a photo, and so you can, you know, I can put it on the...
I was never able to eat
edible.
A whole pizza until I came to Korea. Now I can do it.
Purely for research purposes.
Of course.
You understand.
Korean pizza just isn't as good to me, though. Unless you order from, like, a big chain like Papa John's or Domino's.
Right, yeah.
I don't care if it's $5. It tastes like crap.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. It's, like, $5, and it's, you know, it's the sauce tastes a little like it's, you know, two parts ketchup, one part tomato paste.
Right.
But for $5, I just feel I can't go wrong for $5.
Okay. Well, you let us know how that works out.
John, have you noticed any trends?
No, I haven't really. I learn about most of the new trends from you two.
Oh, yeah. You don't like the hairstyles here.
Oh.
The male hairstyles.
I do. They're so pretty.
I hate them. It's like something out of a bad 1980s nightmare. I just hate them. I notice...
Liquid sky or something.
Women's hairstyles are... they're essentially nothing that freaks me out.
Okay.
But I'm talking about the men. This crispy, sculpted... spiky, you know, clutching around, you know, forming around the face. Oh, it's just horrible. It's horrifying.
Yeah, what I, not so much love, but, you know, the elementary kids are, they're allowed a measure of individuality, and then they go to middle school, and there's a very standard middle school haircut.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like this just shaggy Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's basically, it's like the Joan Jett haircut. All girls over the age of 14, from about 14 to you know, 19, they're all looking like Joan Jett. And so it's weird because I have the children when they're individuals, and then they toddle off to middle school, and sometimes they sort of come back, you know, they're hungry and they know I have food in my desk drawer, and I'm just like, who the hell are, oh, Rachel, how are you? You know, and it's just like, you know, like, I don't know, like a strange alien seed pod has been placed next to them in the middle of the night, and now they're Stepford wives. I'm mixing up couple different movies here. You know, there's a strange alien creature in their throat that's making them try to kill the president. And, well, I don't know. They're Cylons. They're Cylons. If I can invoke a few more science fiction movies. But, yeah.
Silent Green is people.
Yeah. Right. That is, I guess that's one of my hair trend comments. Sarah, what's have you noticed any fashion trends or anything? What about the clothes? Do you like the clothes here?
I do. I seriously want to take the style home with me. It's just so fancy. You know, Americans, we tend to dress down a lot, but
right.
Korean women are always, you know,
on their best.
Always, you know. And I think it's kind of nice. It's kind of like a Stepford wife kind of thing, and you know, I'd like to be that.
Okay.
I want to be thought of as that girl that's always put together and wonderful, even though I don't think I'd do that for you.
I find some of the clothes you get here maybe have like a timeless quality.
I think so. Yeah. The fashion is very, very classic.
Yeah, but they're just very different. It's just so radically different that it just has never hit the North American shores, so it's never in.
Or it does seem like something maybe from like 1950s housewife kind of stuff. To me, it seems like that. I mean, a little different, but...
Have you bought any clothes here, John?
I bought this jacket.
Oh, right.
Undershirts.
Okay. Oh, undershirts.
Yeah, I bought this jacket too, my pink blazer.
But if you go back to Greece, those undershirts, will those be just, you know, opera wear or something?
No, they'll be used as undershirts.
Okay, all right. That's my little nasty Greek joke, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
But yeah, I did think about you the other day, because I was in Shincheon. And if you're in Myeongdong, you notice in Myeongdong they have all these little international flags hanging up, and you notice they didn't have a Greek flag. They had a Turkish flag, but they had no Greek flag.
That, yes.
Yeah, but the same flag arrangement is in Shincheon, but they have Greek flags.
Okay then.
Yeah. So
I'll be there.
There you go. So feel kind of at home there. The other thing I'm kind of excited about. Well. It's kind of two things. Well, one, cargo pants are very much in fashion. You know, the sort of the standard Korean woman uniform is the jean miniskirt, and the sort of the standard Korean male uniform is like cargo pants. So
it's true.
Like that, because when you're kind of living in a big city and you're jumping on and off subways, and I love the extra pockets. You know, it's good to, you know, digital camera in one pocket, money in another pocket, and Metro Pass in another pocket, that kind of thing. T-Money card, Metro Pass. And so that's kind of good. But then I'm a little bit worried that if I go back to North America, that maybe the cargo pants are not in style.
That was kind of an early 2000 kind of trend, I think.
Yeah. So I don't know. I did hear a rumor maybe they've come back in style. So if you are listening to us and you're in, especially if you're in Toronto, let me know, because I think I'm going back to Toronto for 2 or 3 weeks in December. And,
excitement.
Yeah, so I don't want to look like I'm from Barrie or something like that, walking the streets of Toronto.
Oh, you're in style. You're timeless, Carl.
Yeah, I don't know. But black jeans are back in style. Nobody could be happier. Yeah, if you go to Giordano, they have black jeans everywhere.
Oh, have you seen those Giordano commercials with what's-his-face and B?
I have no idea who those people are.
Oh my gosh.
Man. But
that commercial. Have you not seen the commercial where they're sitting around like in what appears to be like a car mechanic place or in a junkyard or something, and all of a sudden they just decide to get dressed in their Giordano clothes and go romping around the city or something. I hate to say it, but it may possibly be the gayest commercial I have ever seen.
Wow.
Look it up on YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to post that on the site there, you know.
Man. But, you know, me, black jeans, I've always loved black jeans. And then in North America, my women friends would always, you know, rake me over the coals. Like, you know, black jeans are so out of style. And my only defense was, as long as Rick Ocasek is still alive, black jeans will always be in style.
Rick Ocasek.
Yeah, lead singer of the Cars.
Yeah.
He married Elle Macpherson.
Did he really?
Yeah, I think it was Elle Macpherson. He married some supermodel.
Yeah, I think.
He may still be married to her, even.
But I mean,
it's weird.
You're Canadian. Why did you have to worry about style?
Oh, there you go. Yeah, what is in style in Canada compared to America?
The overalls. No, we wear that in like Kentucky.
Yeah, it was like what do they call it? The berry dinner jacket, just the fleece plaid big shirt thing.
Flannel.
Seattle was the grunge movement that made that
very
popular.
Like, big check plaid.
Yeah,
colored,
plaid. Yeah. Yeah, it was that flannel. Yeah. So, but that's was always in style in Ontario. And will never go out of style in Ontario. I don't know.
This week's teaching opportunity.
All right, teaching opportunity week. We're going to go back to our little footprints recruiter. And this is, he has a bunch of jobs for public schools. Let's see. Now, for the footprints site, you can go to our blog, and I'll have a link to the footprints site, but if it's footprintsrecruiting.com, all one word, just Google for footprints ESL, you will find the link. This is like a salary, 1.9 to 2.4 million won a month. John, you were saying you saw some jobs and they were advertising really high salaries.
They were. It was one ad in particular, but okay. It was an ad for half a dozen different jobs in what I'm pretty sure I took to be suburbs of Seoul, not actually in Seoul.
Okay.
In the lowest part of the range was like 2.4, but one of them went as high as, I think, $3 million.
$3 million, okay.
And there was so I don't know what that was about. They looked like decent, regular old Hakuan jobs.
Sarah, $3 million, does that set off warning bells for you?
Yep, definitely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you have to be a little bit worried sometimes when it's you begin to go through the ads, you get a feeling of the upper and the lower averages. Mm. Yeah, so if they're really like $3 million, that's like, I know, it's either they're just trying to sucker you in, or you...
Are you going to work, like, hours and hours and, you know, spend so much time even out of your working hours preparing for your classes, and you're never going to have a break, and you might have to come in on Saturday, and ridiculous things like this.
Okay.
There are a lot of schools that are like that. You know, you do get paid a lot, but you have to work a lot.
If you've got, like, a huge student loan and credit card debt, and you're just trying to work your ass off to pay that off, sure, but...
See, it's never worth it to me. You know, so many people are like, oh, you can get paid more if you do privates and blah, 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 this kind of stuff. I'm like, I don't want to do that. I'd rather have a good quality of life than make a lot of money.
Exactly. People are always doing that to me, like, you should teach privates.
Oh, I don't want to.
I'm like, I don't want... If I wanted to make money, I'd go home, you know. This is my...
Exactly.
This is my chance to just rest.
I'm going to be able to sleep.
Yeah, man. But one of the things that's like... this was sort of funny to me. Tax exemption for all nationalities except Canadians.
Yeah, it's good. Canadians.
Canadians pay Korean income tax at a rate of, check this out, 2 to 4%. Now, I think when I moved from Canada, I was paying about 40% of my salary in income tax, both provincial and federal altogether. So my take home was about 60%. So if someone's trying to tell me, well, you're going to have to pay those Korean taxes, you know, it might be 4%, I'd be like, that's like tax exemption anyways, you know. Take 5, I don't care. It's not going to seem strange to me. I don't know. But usually the tax rate, you should be paying a 3.3% tax rate. Other things they may take off your salary is your medical insurance and pension, but your tax should be 3.3. This is something that they kind of, schools will try to screw you on. Like, they will just make up taxes, like, you know, there's a foreigner tax and a resident tax, and, you know, and like, your shoes are too big tax. And so you have to be very careful about that. And they'll just rake you, or they'll charge like 8%. And then, you know, if you sign another year, I can make it so your tax rate is only 6%, you know, as if they're going to do you a favor.
Nice.
So we're going to rip you off less if you sign for another year.
Nice.
Yeah. But public school, I guess we talked about that last week. It's it can be good in that not a lot of hours. you have to be at your desk for, you know, the full school period, but you're not actually in the classroom teaching and stressing.
No.
And there's more children in a classroom.
Yeah, 30 to 50.
All right. But do you find, are they better behaved? Because it's a no.
It depends on the school. Like, my experience in public school, no, the children are not better behaved. They're a lot worse behaved.
Okay, there goes my
but
fantasy.
That was my, you know, my school was a special case, so.
All right.
Generally, yes.
Okay. Well, one of the dangers of the public school system is because so many kids are in hagwons, you know, their little cram schools at night, is that they, you know, they go to school and then they learn and then they go to hagwon and then they learn and then, you know, the next day in their regular school, what they learned in hagwon the night before, now they're being taught in their day school. They're like, well, I already learned this. You know?
Yeah, and I've heard a lot of that complaints from, like, former students that went to, like, English hagwons. They're like, these are, like, baby classes. We learned this, you know, years and years ago. Why are we learning it now?
Exactly. So they tune out and they're not receptive and they're in that kind of...
Right, exactly.
Tune out. Yeah. Nice.
So, yeah.
But, even though I never had that problem because none of my kids went to English hagwon, so...
But the public school system is not like the Japanese, the JET program. The Japanese JET program, one of the bad things about that is that you didn't really have a control over where you want to be placed. You just sort of given them some preferences and they just slot you where they need you. So you just may find yourself in some little fishing village, you know, in, you know, outskirts of Japan, and it's, you know, hour bus ride to the nearest train station. And, yeah, so the public, this is actually jobs in and around Seoul, so... You're not going to be stuck out in a Korean fishing village, something like that. Yeah. But I guess the teaching jobs, there's going to be public school jobs, there's going to be a lot more demand. Because I think Seoul has recently made this really big initiative to get foreign teachers in absolutely every last school,
right.
Public school in Seoul. It used to be kind of like each school district sort of made up their own rules. And so some didn't, and some did, and so now they're kind of just centralizing it, making it sort of a universal thing. So I heard they're going to hire like 900 public school teachers, which may be the reason you're also seeing these higher salaries, especially in more stick-like locations, because now the, you know, there's a bigger demand for public school teachers. So if you know you want to get people to work out in Stickville, then they've got to jump up the salary. So I don't know, maybe that's it.
It's a freaky foreigner.
All right, and finally our freaky foreigner of the week. I guess it just I kind of want you guys to sort of complain a bit more about Canadians because just you'll get it out of your system.
I can do that.
Yeah. But, you know, one of the things I always sort of found strange about Canadians, it's like, I mean, everybody pretty much has this feeling like, I'm from the best country in the world, you know.
I don't feel that way.
I don't feel you're from the best country in the world.
No, like,
I know what you mean. Yeah.
So Americans aren't all running around going, hey, we're number two, you know.
Right.
Germans aren't going around, well, we're number two, right?
Yeah.
So we all believe we're from the best country in the world. And Koreans, many Koreans believe they're the best country in the world. I mean,
right.
If you ask your children, you're like, no, where would you want to live, you know, besides Korea?
Korea.
And you, yeah, exactly. They'll still answer Korea. They it's perfect for them. And, you know, Canada is perfect for me because that's where I was born, right? So, but I always find it kind of strange in that Canadians, if you're sort of like, well, why is Canada the best country in the world? They have two answers. One, it's like, well, this UN survey said we're the best country in the world. And
biased.
Yeah, well, I'm like, you know, if...
Survey for Canadians, yeah, by Canadians.
If you got it, no, it's like UN. So I'm like...
No, I don't believe this.
No, but I'm like, you know, if...
That committee was headed by a Canadian.
By a Canadian,
right.
Clearly.
But if the number one reason your country is the best in the world is like... You know, you have to appeal to findings by some Swiss accountants.
Right.
You're just, maybe you're not quite, you know, the hot stuff on the international scene you're thinking
right.
You are. You know, I don't know. So that's always kind of bizarre to me. And the other is just, it's always like, well, because we're not like America this way. We're not like America that way. Have you noticed this, Sarah, the sort of, the kind of the Canadians tend to define...
by exception, yeah.
Yeah, Canadians tend to define themselves as the not-Americans.
At times, yes. And
you hang with a fair number of Canadians.
I know Canadians, I do.
All right. Do you know any particularly freaky ones?
Not particularly freaky ones, but there's something I notice about a lot of Canadian males and even some females.
Oh, what's the dish?
There are a lot of know-it-alls out there, and nothing drives me more insane than a person that thinks they know everything. I'm just, even if you can prove them wrong, they still think they know it. And, it just drives me crazy. So, you know, I don't have a love for a lot of Canadians because of that.
John.
And even someone who did know everything would know enough to know that they should not appear to be a know-it-all.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And there are just some other people out there, you know, that just talk about Canada all the time and how great it is and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, be quiet.
You know, what I always sort of found strange is like, you know, one of the complaints Canadians have when they go to America is there's American flags everywhere.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I don't even notice that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we in America, like Canadians, when they always come over here, they, you know, put the Canadian flag. Like on their backpack. And they come over here with, you know, pencils emblazoned with, like, Canadian logo, you know, the Canadian flag, and stickers with Canada flags. You can't really buy that in America. We don't have those. I mean, you can find them, you know, at random places sometimes, but it's not common.
Yeah, but that's sort of the thing I thought was kind of funny. But if you go back to Canada, I mean, you just have to really look. But once you look, you go, oh, look, every McDonald's has a Canadian flag.
Really?
You know?
Yeah. Right.
You know, every Canadian flag's everywhere, but you just don't notice your own flags,
right,
because there's their background to it. It's like
fire
extinguishers.
True. I guess it's true.
Yeah. So, but yeah, but that's the things the Americans kind of find funny, right? When the Canadians with their flags and their backpacks. So.
See, that's true. But there are some other bad Canadian, you know, things. Like I've heard from many Canadians that when they're really, really drunk, they like to pretend they're Americans.
Really?
Yes, and that's not cool.
That's not right. If you no.
And I've heard this, you know, from different people on different occasions.
Wow.
So it's not just, you know, one person that's doing it. It appears to be, you know, several Canadians that are doing that.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
Because that is just so not right.
It really isn't.
Well, by way of confirmation, on my teacher message board, there's this guy who calls himself Migu, you know, Korean word for American, but he oddly has all these Canadian spellings, you know, color and it's like, yeah, you're American.
And he's calling flame wars and all this kind of stuff and blah, blah, blah. No, I don't know anything about him, but...
I don't have many strong feelings about Canadians at all. I mean, I have to consciously bring them...
to mind.
To mind. And
yeah.
I just don't really
think
about Canadians.
That's the thing that gets really under the Canadian skin is how little Americans think about Canadians.
Yeah, honestly, back home, I don't really ever think about Canada.
Exactly. But I like to make the point that I'm like, that's a good thing, because if America is thinking about you, it means they're thinking about bombing you.
Right,
you know?
Or taking you over, or buying you or something.
Yeah, you are causing America...
Canada.
You know, there's something you're doing that is causing America a problem, you know? Whether you're sending your illegal immigrants or you're building nuclear bombs and not getting their permission. You know, there's just some... So if you're not in the American mind, you're doing something right.
Good.
You know?
Good.
Yeah, don't complain.
Exactly. I mean, I can cross the American-Canadian border. Well, it's a little harder these days, but it's always... not a problem, you know? I don't have to, get a little fingerprint and have my picture taken and that kind of stuff.
Because you look like us.
Yet.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
Talk funny.
Exactly, yet. You know, we enjoy a privileged relationship with, you know, the biggest economy in the world. And
you'd better behave or you might put that in jeopardy.
That's right.
Absolutely.
This is all about you.
It could all change tomorrow, which, But, I remember my boss in Seattle, he was an English teacher in Korea, and he was telling me about it. He was always trying to figure out why were there so many Canadians teaching? Because America has 10 times the population, but it would seem that the ratio of Canadian to Americans is pretty much par.
I have wondered this.
Yeah. And he was also a little bit hurt too, because he's like, oh, you're Canadian, you know, I went to Vancouver, and then, you know, where are you from? Well, I'm from America. Oh, you bloody Americans, you know, your guns and your George Bush. You know, he was kind of like, oh, he didn't really know that Canadians had sometimes had such anger towards their American neighbors, because Americans just don't have any anger about their Canadian neighbors. It's, you know, they'd like, well, what did we ever do to you? Why do you hate us so much? You know, it's like, I don't know. It's a legitimate complaint or wonder, why are you so upset? But and I thought, I'm like, well, why are there so many Canadians? And at first I kind of fell on that sort of, well, the reasons are the reasons that make Canadians seem morally superior people. I'm like, well, because, you know, we can, you know, we're more worldly, and we can accept the small differences, and, you know, we're not freaked out, you know, we don't have to have mom and apple pie, and then my counter to that is always, well, how would my sister survive in Korea? And, you know, you tear her away from Walmart or Canadian cigarettes for 2 hours, and my sister would collapse like a house of cards. So, you know, so that's not the case. And I basically concluded that, you know, in America, and not to diss on you, John, but in America, if you can't get a job, and if you're really trying to scrounge about for something to do in life, in America, there's the military.
Right.
They'll take you.
Work
right?
For me.
Yeah. And it's, you know, and it's a good life. And you muster out with, you know, good money and benefits and stuff. And Canada doesn't have a military. Well, we've got a waiting list, but we don't have a military. You know, if you want to join the military, it's like, we can take you in about 3 years. Just put your name at the bottom of it. But it's like, be a security guard at the West Edmonton Mall until then. So there's not really that option in Canada. So the only really option is, if you're scrounging about for something to do, you have the English teaching option. So that, to me...
So it's kind of...
It's just about
an unemployment agency. Or an employment agency.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
right.
Nice. I think that's the theory. All right. So that's our show. Happy Halloween. And
Don't get too scared.
No, we're not scared.
Not real.
We're not very scared here.
I'm really scared. Okay. I don't know why.
What are you scared of, Sarah?
Canadians.
Oh, no. You'll be getting nasty emails.
That's
from
right.
Canadians. Yeah. If you send email to Sarah, to our gokorea@gmail.com, I do forward them to Sarah. So if you don't hear a reply...
That's probably why Sarah is a bad correspondent.
Yeah. Don't take it personal, because Sarah doesn't actually ever respond to my emails.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I always mean to. I have good intentions.
Yeah, occasionally. So Sarah's just a bad email person.
It's true.
But yeah, and I have far more of a vested interest in the show than, you know, I'm like, you know, this is my chance, you know.
I'm going to make it big.
Yeah.
Babe, I'm going to live forever.
So, but don't be afraid to send John or I email.
And me, even though you already do. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. So that's.
But we're still not going to put our pictures up.
Yeah. That's our show. So again, email us your questions at gokorea@gmail.com. Online at www.gokorea.info. And of course, you can access our blog from there. I think I put up a couple new dictionary definitions. Soju.
Soju.
Yeah, that was the main one, I think. Soju is missing.
Right.
So I added.
Yeah, they need to know about that.
Soju. All right. And have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.